Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the matter of scriptural marriage and family life, and how important this is to God, and how important this should be to us. I've tried to emphasize from message to message the importance and the place of the Word of God itself in everything we do in life, whether it's salvation, whether it's living the Christian life, whether it's raising our children, whether it's husband-wife relationships, even in the matter of seeking God's will for our lives. The Scriptures are our only foundation, the only basis for everything we do in life. And I want to emphasize this to all of you, because some of you may be listening to the teachings of men, you may be reading other books besides the Bible itself, which are contrary to the Word of God. I don't mean good books, but I mean books which are contrary to the Word of God. People may be selling you books as they come to your door from time to time. You may be buying these books. These books may be in your home. My advice to you, if they're not in agreement with the Word of God, get rid of them. Get them out of your home. Don't let the devil tempt you with false teaching in any way. Don't even accept these books. Don't buy these books from people who just appear at your door and want to sell you some book of man. And so I'm trying to emphasize, whether it's in salvation or the Christian life or the way we live our lives in homes and families, whatever it may be, we are following the Word of God. Now, we've discussed a number of different subjects as we've discussed this matter of home and family. And I want to continue our discussion today because this discussion has been very, very important. Not because of my teaching the subject, but simply because the Word of God has so much to say about it. And so this subject has been very, very important. And I want to emphasize this again and again, that we come back to the Scriptures again and again to find the truth on these subjects. We discussed a number of different subjects. We discussed the relationship of young people to each other as they seek God's will for the future. We discussed the husband-wife relationship. And now in recent messages, we've been discussing the parent-child relationship and how important this relationship is before God. We've been discussing various things about what parents should expect of children, what children should expect of parents, and then the training of children, and more recently, the discipline of children. I want to talk today about some of the forms that discipline can take. Sometimes when we think of discipline, we think only of spanking the child. Unfortunately, this is neglecting many other means of also teaching the child. Now, I believe in corporal punishment. I believe in doing it within the laws of society, of course. But I believe in spanking a child. But I believe also there are many other forms of discipline we can use in the life of the child. And let me suggest four of these to you today. First of all, I believe in strong and forceful teaching and training in the life of the child. And I want to emphasize the word strong. In other words, firm and strong teaching and training in the life of the child. And how important this is from the very earliest ages. The parents have set standards in their home. These are biblical standards, of course. They're not just hundreds of little rules a child has to obey, but they're biblical standards for the home, standards of purity and holiness, standards of example of the parents and so forth. And so as we set these standards in our home, very forcefully and very clearly, we teach the child these standards are to be followed and to be obeyed. In other words, this is the way we conduct our home life. This is the way we conduct family worship. The child is to be a part of this. We do not allow a child to be rebellious against home life and the way we train our children in everything. And even coming back again to the subject of family worship, a child may not sit there in family worship with a resentful attitude, a bitter attitude, and an attitude of impatience and so forth. A child is not permitted. So this child is given strong and forceful teaching there in the home. And I believe, and I want to emphasize this again and again, this strong and forceful teaching begins in the very early stages of the life of the child. In other words, when a child is even a very small child, a child learns it may not do certain things. It may not act in a certain way. Certain things will simply not be tolerated. and this child must conform, in other words, to what is being taught in the child. Now, if you study, and we referred to this in the last message, if you study the book of Proverbs, if you study the first 7 or 8 chapters, even down to chapter 10, you find a father forcefully teaching his child. He's teaching his son in this case, but it's applying it not only to a son, but sons and daughters, beginning at the very earliest stages. This father is forcefully teaching this son. He addresses him as a son. He's forcefully teaching the son. He's saying to the son, listen to me. You must listen to me. In other words, you are required to listen to me. The teaching that I have for you is essential. It's very, very important. And you're required to listen to me and to listen to me very, very carefully. So pay attention to what I'm saying to you. And of course, so many parents, and we get back to this again, give in so easily to the mindset of the child. This is true with small children. A child is very cute. He is a very loving little child. He's a child they admire, maybe a handsome little child. And so many times, parents will give in to the mindset of this small child because of the child's tender age. And so the idea of these parents is that maybe later in the child's life, they begin to apply these things. Unfortunately, year after year after year, they continue to give in to the mindset of this small child. They continue to yield to the child's desires and the child's will. And therefore, the parents instill in the heart and life of the child that the child can get by with what the child wants to do. And the way the child wants to express himself, the child can get by with this. The child takes advantage of this. The child is very clever. From the very beginning, a child firmly but lovingly teaches this child, we will not permit this to take place. In other words, you will conform. You will listen to our instruction. You will follow our instruction. It's for your good and for your safety, and you must follow this instruction that we're giving you. The second thing that's important in the life of the child is requiring honor and respect for the parents and all others in authority. The child is not permitted to show disrespect for the parent or for anyone in authority. In other words, he learns it first concerning the parents, and then he'll learn it later concerning teachers, and then, of course, rulers in society itself. We are taught, for instance, in Romans 13, that as adults, even as young people, we're to obey the laws of the king, the laws of society, in other words. And so he learns it first in the home. He will not be permitted to show any disrespect in the way he talks to the parents, in the way he feels about them, in the way he expresses himself about the parents to other people. He is not permitted to show any disrespect whatsoever for his parents. And so he requires this in the life of the child. The parents and all others in authority are to be shown respect. And then the third method of discipline is the withholding of privileges and benefits the child could otherwise desire and expect from the parents. In other words, there are certain privileges a child has in life. There are certain benefits a child can expect from the parents. Sometimes the child proves himself unworthy of these privileges and benefits. He may be disobedient. I remember when our children were very small, there might have been a time when I had to leave one child behind when we were going out on some family outing, or leaving behind with someone else, simply because this child was acting wrongly in the car or some such thing, or where we had to turn around the car and go back and leave the child at home when I was going to take the boys out for some outing or some special occasion, maybe to a game or some such thing. I had to turn around and leave the child at home. Now, this was a privilege the child expected, but because of the disobedience of the child, because the child himself was not responding correctly, sometimes I had to reverse this and had to take away a privilege or a benefit a child could otherwise expect. The child must be taught that there are always consequences for disobedience and rebellion against the teaching and authority of the parents. So the child learns this at a very early age, that he will lose some of these privileges and some of these rights if he doesn't obey or if he shows rebellion. There are consequences. Now, parents are reluctant to do this. They feel so tenderly towards their children. The child has looked forward to a certain thing happening in his life, or a certain occasion where he can be a part of that occasion. And the child has to learn that there are consequences when rebellion has come. I want to emphasize that the parent must be very careful in the application of this principle. In other words, when a parent applies this principle, he must be very careful he's not doing it unfairly or unjustly, and that some little thing might trigger a series of reactions in the parents which might be unfair or unjust. Now, the last thing, and the thing that I want to touch on just for a few moments, and that is the use of spiritually controlled physical punishment. I believe in physical punishment. I believe, in fact, even in the use of a hand upon a child. Some parents teach that you must use a rod or a stick or some other thing. I've never used anything harsh on my four children when they were small. I never used anything harsh at all. But I did believe in physical punishment and the use of physical punishment. But the emphasis I want to put upon it is this: it must be spiritually controlled. In other words, if a parent is angry at a child, this is no time to use physical punishment. If a parent has a bitter spirit towards a child, or somehow resents a child, this is no time to use physical punishment. Some parents, in fact, continually are punishing their children physically, and they're doing it in a way that only makes the child bitter and resentful. In other words, the child will fail to understand why this punishment is being given, and why on a certain occasion it's being given, when they realize that it's through the anger of the parent. A parent comes home frustrated from work, for instance. They've had a very bitter work experience, and they bring this into the home, and the slightest little thing a child might do merits some terrible punishment upon the child, some deep display of anger. In other words, frustration gets loose in the life of a parent. This frustration expresses itself by punishment they give to the child. And I don't believe in this at all. When I was punishing my children when they were small, I would try to do it at a time when I was perfectly calm. I would never punish them if I was upset in a special way or frustrated or in any way angry at that child. I tried to do it at a time when the child knew that I was doing it lovingly and tenderly, and yet necessarily, if there is such a word. I was doing it because it was necessary in the life of the child. And the procedure that I would follow would be this. I would always pray with the child before I punish them. I let the child know, I love you very dearly, but it's necessary now that I punish you. And I want you to know that this is being done in love, and it's being done for your good. It's being done to correct your bad attitudes and so forth. And from this will come forgiveness. In other words, as you are sorry for what you've done, from this will come forgiveness. And then we'll not mention this matter anymore. I would never punish in front of the other children. I would always punish in such a way that the child knew that this is between me and the child. I would not discuss the punishment of the child with the other children, but I would let the child know the punishment was necessary. Now, if the punishment had to do with something the child had done against the other children, then the other children needed to know that that child was being punished. But otherwise, it was very private, and it was a very tender thing, a very loving thing. And then afterwards, again, I would pray with the child, letting the child know how tenderly I loved them and cared for them. Now, I want to leave with you some of these suggestions for discipline of your children. And I trust from these several messages on the subject that you will get some idea about how you can best live in proper relationship with your children. May the Lord help you to be the right kind of a parent, and to be the kind of a parent who raises the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, each one.